Thank you, Joe. Please be seated, and Joy Rutt will come and share the scripture with us.
Matthew 10, 40 to 42. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward.
Small things matter. Little acts. Simple words, small gestures. Take a minute, just think about your week. Can you think of a small something that someone did or said, for good or for bad, that affected you, that made a difference in how your day went? The little things we do and say, that others do and say, matter in the course of our lives. They make a difference in how our families work, in our workplace relationships, in our casual interactions with strangers. How we act, what we do and say in these ordinary everyday living matters to other people, and it matters to us. Every day, we are doing countless small things, but they add up. They shape our relationships. They shape who we are and how we interact with the world around us. And it matters. We live in a time when our country and our world is in many ways deeply troubled. There's anxiety and fear, anger, division, so much that can give us distress and grief. Judd referred to some of that. The problem seems so big, overwhelming, difficult to begin to know how to make a real difference. It's very easy to feel helpless, powerless, that there's nothing we can do that will really change things. And yet, here are these little words of hope. Jesus sending out his 12 disciples to share his good news of God's love. Matthew writing his gospel to those small little first century house churches struggling to be faithful to Jesus and what he had taught and shown them, living in very difficult, challenging times. Just before these verses in Matthew, there's a warning that to be faithful, they need to be prepared to have their families turn against them, to be hauled in before the religious courts for questioning, perhaps to be brought before political authorities. They have to be ready to take up their crosses, to even lose their lives. And then after all of that, he pointed them to little things that matter. In the face of all the drama and the threats and all that can seem scary and frightening, he reminded them of everyday, ordinary ways that they were to keep on, day by day, living, loving lives. Don't miss the good. Don't overlook the kindness. Don't forget to seek wisdom and generosity in other people. Even if someone just gives a cup of cold water, there is still a blessing. Something good is happening. Even a cup of cold water given in Jesus' name, given in the Spirit of Christ, given in love and generosity and openness, the smallest, simplest kindness given will receive its reward. The reward language troubles me. Reward sort of sounds like, you know, you should do these things so you get a reward, like $1,000, or you get your ticket into heaven or something like that, right? I don't think that's what this is about. This is not about giving or doing right things in order to earn something. I think this is about how life works, about the ways that our attitudes, our perceptions, our openness or our closed-heartedness, how we approach other people, how we interact with them, shapes what we get back. Not always, of course. We can be trying to be kind and respectful, and another person can be angry and resentful and blow us off. I've never forgotten my experience in college as a summer missionary in New York City, very new, in this great big city, happening to catch somebody's eyes across the subway train, and they flipped me off. I was a little startled coming from North Carolina. So these things can happen. We cannot control other people's responses. But much of the time, maybe even most of the time, if we can stay open and stay centered in love and kindness, the people we're interacting with will calm down. They will feel our calmness. We will be able to connect. We human beings, actually, we as mammals, are wired for this. Wired with what they call mirror neurons. We're wired to match each other's emotional states. That's why if you can stay calm and peaceful, you can calm a fussy baby, right? But if you get anxious, that baby's not going to calm down. It's why your dog can help you feel better. Mirror neurons happen with our dogs and cats. We're meant to connect, to attune to each other. It's the way we're created. And the challenge is to stay in the place of peacefulness and love. To stay in that place and not get yanked into the other person's anxiety and anger and reactivity. Everybody know what I'm talking about here? Mm-hmm. Our bodies give us cues, don't they? We tense up, we get constricted, our breathing gets shallow, our heart beats faster. But we can learn to recognize that, to slow our breathing, count to 10, say a prayer. We can learn slowly over our lifetimes to recognize these cues our body is giving us, that we're getting sucked into somebody else's stuff, that we're getting revved up by what we're hearing on the news or reading. We can train ourselves, with God's help, to be less reactive. We can learn to make choices about what we're attuning to. Every day, I think, we are deciding what influences, what voices, what energy we're letting shape our lives. So, if we welcome a prophet, if we receive someone as a prophet, if we open ourselves to those who are wise, those who are connected to God's Spirit, we will be blessed. We will learn from them. We will become more like them. If we welcome a person who is righteous, if we see their goodness, recognize their generosity, are willing to be blessed by their love and their kindness, we become more righteous, more attuned to peace and love. And for all of us, in all these interactions, there is the Spirit of Christ. God's love is in the giving and the receiving, in the welcoming of each other. We welcome Christ. We welcome God's presence here in the world, embodied in each and every one of us. Christ in you. Christ in me, Christ in all of us, maybe Christ in my dog and cat. The Quakers say the light of God is in every single human being. That's why they're pacifist, isn't it? How could one person choose to extinguish the light of God in another? The way of Christ is always this way of giving and receiving, welcoming, pouring out, being open, self-emptying love. The Greek word is kenosis. I come back again and again to Cynthia Bourgeau's writing in her book, Wisdom Jesus, about this, about kenosis, self-emptying love, what she calls the Jesus trajectory. She quotes a poem by Rumi, a Sufi mystic, which she says captures it in a very profound way, and I believe it does. Rumi says, love is recklessness, not reason. Reason seeks a profit. Love comes on strong, consuming herself, unabashed. Yet in the midst of suffering, love proceeds like a millstone, hard surface, straightforward. Having died to self-interest, love risks everything and asks for nothing. Love gambles away every gift God bestows. Jesus' way, Cynthia writes, Jesus' life revealed a messy, freewheeling largeness of spirit, abundance and generosity bordering on the extravagant seemed to be both the signature of his teaching and his personal style. Jesus got in trouble for being too open, for partying with the wrong people, for having a good time, for daring to eat on the Sabbath. And he taught us, do not count the cost. If you try to save your life, you will lose it. Love gives itself away. Cynthia writes, thus he came and thus he went, Jesus, giving himself fully into life and into death, losing himself, squandering himself. It was not love stored up, but love utterly poured out that opened the gates of the kingdom of heaven. We are called to that kingdom. We're called to that love, to join with it, to be part of it, fearless, gambling away all the gifts God gives us, to take the risk to live in love.